This happened in Antioch, California. It was around 2 a.m. I was at a friend's house, safe in warm, sheltered suburbia. We were having a lot to drink, chit-chatting, enjoying ourselves. Of course, when you're having fun, time hits the fast-forward button, and those few minutes turn into an hour. I had too much to drink. My friend has a bit of an abrupt bedtime, so I had to dodge out early, still intoxicated. I felt too shameful thinking I would be asking too much to stay in his house, to sleep off the drunkenness. I suppose he was either too rude or too drunk to consider it himself. Whatever. Sometimes a little inconvenience makes you appreciate everything else. I needed about another hour or so to sober up and drive back. As fast as time passed during my stay, it decided to drastically slow down as soon as I stepped out of his house. It was a cul-de-sac area, a concrete jungle with the stem of the street breaking into a fork. Alongside the road, my car was parked. The only street light that worked was in the middle of the cul-de-sac circle, about 80 yards away. I stumbled towards my car, produced my keys, felt the metal line up, opened my door, and shifted to the back seat. Because this was a dark, strange, and unfamiliar neighborhood, I took the leftover newspapers and a sweater in my back seat to cover myself up. I wanted to camouflage myself and not just be some guy awkwardly sitting in his car, waiting for time to pass in order to drive home. I couldn't fall asleep. The uncomfortable feeling of a cheap backseat bed enshrouded in darkness didn't make the chance of slumber easier. It felt too ominous. And of course, my mind began to wander. I thought of worst-case scenarios, like how the police would shine their lights on me through the window, or a drunk driver hitting my car, and... wait. In the distance, about 100 yards away, I could hear footsteps approaching. The gravel scuffed with each step forward, growing in proximity, but periodically taking stops. I wondered why until it made sense in my mind. Whoever it was probably looking through cars carefully, with the intent to steal one. I couldn't recall how many cars were on the block, but I counted 3 full stops until he was at my window, breathing. I froze. There was no more than 1 foot between us. The car encapsulated me as I lay hidden beneath backseat clutter, forming myself into an object, trying my hardest to be unnoticeable, unmoving, and simply not there. "I see you," said a 40-plus-year-old man in a perverse baby talk. Imagine when you were playing hide-and-seek and one of your friends tricks you into coming out. He said it in that tone of voice, as if baiting me, like he was questioning whether the clutter in the back seat was just clutter or a person. I did not want to move or check the window. I remained clutter. Give me an Academy Award. My body reacted by minimizing my breathing so much that I felt paralyzed. I dare not look. My eyes fixated on the back of the passenger seat. I did not blink. I did not move. I did not breathe. My heart was pounding so hard it shook my body with each throb. He circled around the car. My ears didn't fail me. I heard the steps. I felt like I was part of the car. I could feel him touching the trunk as he carefully pressed down on it, as if to test the alarm, as if to test me. I was in the middle of fight or flight. I couldn't do either without elevating danger. I was frozen and hoping that he was bluffing. He circled the car again. The door handle to my right jiggled. He was pulling it multiple times. "I see you." Same tone, but more agitated and stressed. more convinced that he was trying to make that clutter move, revealing itself to be of his expectations, that it was me. My muscles tensed like a cow before slaughter. Tap, tap, tap. That had to be metal against glass. Take a penny right now and tap your window. A crowbar. A knife? A rock? My eyes fixated on the seat in front of me, never averting my gaze, like he was. I was covered enough to where I couldn't see beyond the seat in front of me. I know I couldn't see him, but I could feel his eyes resting on top of me. My name is Pokerface. What's your name? The voice changed in a lower, demented, and serious tone. My mind forced a visual. It wasn't anything human. I already accepted my death. I was ready to be shot in the head, ready to take a life-changing bullet, multiple knife wounds. Just make this sleep bearable, not excruciating, as you drain me of life. I wouldn't know how to react. My thoughts grew dimmer. I imagined my friend waking up the next morning after a calm night of safe and sound sleep, only to discover my mutilated, defiled, and bloodied body hanging outside my car door. It was then I heard nothing but my own heart. What was this person doing now? Just staring at me in the middle of the night? Talking to me? Or a messy pile in the back seat? Time froze. The footsteps were being swallowed in the distance. He left. I waited another hour until the sun showed hints of itself. I jumped in my front seat and bolted out of there, wide-eyed and sober. So this happened to my family in early 2002 when my daughter was a baby. My wife and I moved into a new house right after our daughter was born. It was a nice place in the suburbs. I would rather not mention in what city. The house was relatively new and surrounded by other houses with the same exact design and layout. We were still getting used to our new life there with our new baby when one night we heard the baby crying on the baby monitor. We were watching a movie in the living room, paused it, and went into the baby's room. The baby wanted her bottle. I stood in the doorway of the room while my wife tended to our newborn. I was smiling at the sight of this, when suddenly my wife made a small sound of fear and surprise. She was looking out the window directly beside the crib. I walked over to her, and she didn't say anything. I looked outside and saw a woman that looked to be about our age, standing on our lawn and looking into the bedroom window. I went into protective mode and immediately walked out of the room and towards the front door with the intention of confronting her. My wife shouted before I could open the door. She ran away! I ripped the door open and walked outside. I looked around the front of our house and walked a bit further onto the street, looking in both directions. No sign of her. I decided to walk around the whole exterior of my house to make sure this creepy lady had really left. I walked the perimeter of our house and didn't find her anywhere. I returned to my house to find my wife still holding the baby in our master bedroom, and I told my wife that I did not find her. After a little while of being creeped out and looking out the windows to make sure she wasn't still lingering around, we decided she was gone for good and went to sleep. The next day, we saw the woman again, this time at night. And this time, my wife was in the shower, and I was holding our baby in her bedroom. I saw the woman standing in the same spot on our lawn, peering into the bedroom at me holding my baby. I just looked at her for the longest time, and she didn't move. My wife eventually walked into the room with a towel in her hair and approached me from behind, giving me a hug. I said, "She's back. Look. She's just standing there." My wife got incredibly creeped out at this point and insisted that we call the police. I was going to, but felt I wanted to confront her again. So I walked out of the room and opened up the front door, which was only about 10 feet away from the baby's room. I walked outside, and the woman was still there. She turned to me. I walked onto our lawn about 20 feet away from her and said, "What are you doing? If you don't leave right now, I'm calling the cops. If I ever see you around here again, I will call them immediately." The woman smiled at me and then opened her mouth wide and let out a nightmare-inducing scream that sounded as if she was in pain. I knew right away that this woman was ill, like in the head. She turned around and ran away. This was terrifying, as I realized she was barefoot. She ran away like a little kid would, arms flailing. I went inside and my wife was already holding the phone. A couple police officers came by the house a short while later, and they said there was really nothing they could do except drive around the neighborhood a few times and keep an eye out for her. They said they would call us if they did see her. About 20 minutes after they left, they called and said they didn't see anyone fitting her description. We were disappointed, but eventually fell asleep. After taking turns looking out the windows for hours, I had assumed the woman got the hint. A month had passed with no sign of her. Then one night, my wife and I were in bed when I heard a noise. I awoke and glanced at the alarm clock. It read 3:32 a.m. I listened for the noise to continue and heard giggling coming from the baby monitor. I sat up in bed and my heart stopped. I flew out of the room and into my baby's room to see nothing. My baby was asleep and my wife had followed me. I was very confused for a moment and thought I didn't actually hear anything. Maybe it was just a nightmare. My wife asked what was wrong. I didn't respond for a few seconds and then finally said, "Nothing. I thought I heard something." We both sighed and walked back into our room. My wife went into the room first and upon entering, screamed and then threw herself backwards into me. I gasped and almost fell backwards onto the floor. My wife started repeating, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." My heart pounding, I replied, "What? What?" I forced my way past her and walked into my bedroom. The woman was sitting Indian style on our bed. I backed up out of the room and slammed the door. My wife ran and took our baby from her crib, and the three of us went outside. As I was closing the front door, once we had walked out, I heard our master bedroom door open. Neither of us had our cell phones on us, so we ran to our neighbor's house and started frantically knocking on their front door. They answered very quickly and asked what the matter was. We explained, and they ushered us inside and called the police. The cops showed up shortly after, and they went inside our house. The woman was still there. They said they found her upstairs, sitting in the middle of the hallway, in the dark. I have a story I'd like to tell you all. This happened when I was 18, about 16 years ago. I was still living with my parents in their nice house in suburban Colorado. It was getting late one night, around 11:30 p.m. I was on the phone with my girlfriend and had decided to go up to my room and switch phones, using the one that was in my room, so that I didn't wake my parents that I now assumed were in bed. Voices downstairs echoed upstairs easily, and I had gotten in trouble for that a few times before. I told my girlfriend to hang on, that I was going to put the phone down for a minute while I went upstairs to turn on my phone. I set the phone down on the counter, right next to where it gets hung up on the wall. I quickly walked upstairs and into my bedroom. My room was cold. I left the window open. I slammed my window shut and picked up the phone next to my bed. "All right, babe, one sec. I'm gonna go downstairs real fast and hang up the living room phone." I set the phone down on my bed and went downstairs. I reached the last step, turned left, and stopped. The phone was now hung up on the wall. I stood there bewildered for about 30 seconds, a bit creeped out, but mostly confused. Maybe my parents came down and hung it up? No, that wasn't possible. I would have heard them, and I was only upstairs for about 30 seconds. I walked over to the phone and then turned around, looking around the living room and into the kitchen. Nothing. No sign of my parents. Nobody else was in my house that night. I convinced myself that I must have hung it up before I went upstairs. Wait, no, that's not possible. Then I would have hung up on my girlfriend. I walked into the dining room and nobody was there. I walked back upstairs and over to my parents' bedroom. I pressed my ear to the door and could hear my dad snoring. What is going on? I walked into my bedroom and almost had a heart attack when I saw that my bedroom phone was now hung up. I turned around fast to the dark hallway. Nobody. I ran downstairs and to my horror, I saw the phone in the living room was now gone. I got goosebumps all over and my heart was now pounding in my chest. I ran back upstairs and into my room. I ripped open my closet, but nobody was there. I walked over to my phone and picked it up. As soon as I did this, I heard somebody say, "I came in through your bedroom window." I almost dropped the phone out of fright and thought, "That's impossible. My bedroom is on the second story." I turned around again, expecting to see someone, but did not. I turned and opened my window. I looked outside and saw a large extension ladder there, leaning on my house, just below the bottom of my window. I dropped the phone on the ground and ran to my parents' room. I slammed against their door with fists and yelled, "Open the door, there's somebody in the house!" My mom opened up and was confused, with a terrified look on her face. I went into their room and my dad was sitting up in bed. I locked their bedroom door and repeated myself. "There is someone in here. They have the phone. They just said something to me." My mom ran to my dad's side of the bed and grabbed his work cell phone that was still in his jeans pocket. She called the police, and they were at our front door knocking around 15 minutes later. They searched the house and found no one. They did find the living room phone, though. It was lying in the middle of the grass in our backyard. Something very creepy happened to me on Christmas. I had celebrated the holiday that morning with my family and went to see my parents. On Christmas night, I had to go into work to finish a proposal I was working on for a new potential client. I obviously didn't want to go into work, but it had to be finished. My work was in a building downtown that is fairly close to a few nightclubs and bars. My office is on the 23rd floor. And in my position, I have an office, but most of this floor is filled up with cubicles in the middle. My office is in the far corner next to my boss's office, so to get to my office, I have to walk by all the cubicles. I didn't get there late, probably around 8 or 9, but there was nobody else there. This was my second time going in alone, and it was peaceful. If I let my imagination run wild, however, I would get spooked easily. As I walked the path next to the cubicles, I was reminded of what I was missing at home. While looking at all the Christmas lights strung up, decorating people's workspaces, there were no lights on, but it was lit up enough by all these Christmas lights. I reached my office and unlocked it. I went inside, but didn't close the door. My computer and desk faced away from my door, so I couldn't see anyone that approached my door on workdays through the huge glass window that I had. I found this annoying, as I never knew who was knocking until I got up and opened the door. I sat down and began working as quickly as possible so I could get back home. After a while, I'd say about an hour into it, I heard the main entrance door close. I didn't hear it open, but when it closed, it made a noise that was unmistakable. I wasn't spooked at this point, just curious as to who else was unlucky enough to have to come in and finish something. I got up from my desk and walked out onto the floor. I looked around, but didn't see anybody. I said loudly, "Hello?" Nobody responded. At this moment, I got paranoid and freaked out a little bit because I definitely heard the main entrance door close. Somebody was either here and then left, or was still in here and not responding to me. I was just about to turn around and get back to work when I saw a head sticking up out of a cubicle on the opposite side of the floor, looking towards me. I could see that it was a man, but I couldn't make out any details of his face. I thought he must be messing with me, so I shouted over to him, "What a time to have to come in, huh?" Hoping whoever it was would stand up and laugh, but they didn't. The man didn't move, and this really scared me. So I tried again and said, "I can see you, guy." He didn't move. I wasn't sure what to do next, and was now very on edge. So I felt through my pocket for my keys, and they were there. I started walking down the path towards the entrance door, the whole time watching this guy. As I was walking, he just watched me. I looked over at the entrance door for a second, just 1 second, and looked back. He was gone. After seeing this, I thought, "Oh my gosh, he could be moving over to me." So I jogged the rest of the way to the door and went through it. I jogged over to the elevator and hit the button. I turned around quickly, and the door closed as it made the same noise as before. The door thankfully opened immediately, and I went inside and hit the first floor button. The door closed, and I did not see the guy come out that door. I drove home and told my wife what happened. I had to call my boss and tell him as well, so that I had a reason for not finishing my proposal that night. He was understanding, and I went back in 2 days later with everyone else. I never found out who the guy was or what that was all about. Nothing was stolen or tampered with, to my knowledge. This happened to me about 15 years ago. I lived near the ocean, and I frequented a certain spot on the beach all the time. It was a lonely spot, and not many people ever really showed up there. This one Saturday afternoon, I was laying out in the sand, in my spot, relaxing and tanning. It's not uncommon for me to fall asleep. I did sometimes if the sun wasn't too hot on my skin. This one particular day, I did. I woke up a while later to the sun now setting, and I realized I had slept for quite a while. I looked to my left and saw a woman sitting near me in the sand, but not a towel. She was wearing jean shorts and a bathing suit top. She had really pretty red hair. At first, I didn't really acknowledge her, but after glancing at her a few times, I noticed she was just staring out into the ocean and did not turn to look at me or anything for that matter. I felt a bit of curiosity and said hello to her. She said hello back, without turning her head to look at me. Right after that, she sprung to her feet and walked away. I thought it was kinda weird, but didn't think too much of it. I'd say about 30 minutes later, I packed up my stuff and left. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary, and I had a great day relaxing there. Once I was home, I started making myself dinner. I heard my phone ring and walked over to my purse on the counter and pulled it out. It was my mom. We started talking about the usual things when I noticed a square folded piece of paper sticking out of my purse in the midst of our conversation. My mom continued talking, and I pulled out the paper and unfolded it, confused, because I was pretty sure that I did not put it there. I literally dropped the phone when I read what was written on the paper. It said, "I was going to rob you and stab you in the throat, but you just looked so peaceful." I picked up the phone and told my mom what happened, remembering the girl on the beach. we both nearly passed out.
Hi, my name is Trevor, and this is by far the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. This happened in May of this year. I'm a 22-year-old male who's in pretty good shape, and I'm a first responder, so I've seen and dealt with pretty much everything. I live with my parents in an upper-middle-class community. The town I live in has very little to no crime in it. So here's my story. My parents left to go to Florida to visit some family, and basically left me and my German Shepherd dog alone for the week. A quick layout of the house. It's two stories, with my parents' room on the first floor. Anyways, it's night out, and I'm sleeping in my parents' room with my dog. The bed is between two windows with screens on them. They were both opened. It's about 2 a.m. and I'm just getting ready to fall asleep when I wake up to the sounds of screaming. I think nothing of it since there's a lot of kids in the area who are always out. But about 10 minutes later, I hear the same screaming again, which woke my dog up, and he was also alerted. I still think nothing of it. Another 10 minutes, the screaming happens again, and I noticed it wasn't a child scream, and it was only one person. It was a loud screaming, sounded like someone was getting stabbed. My dog starts huffing and totally freaking out. I'm now scared shitless and unable to move. 5 minutes later, and the screaming was right outside the window. It was so loud this time that my ears started ringing. My dog flips absolute shit, and I'm having a panic attack. I look out the window, and I see some old woman with long gray hair, and she was still screaming. I finally jump into action, and I grab my dad's pistol. The only bad thing is that it was a revolver, and it had no bullets, so I had to pray she thought it was loaded. I went back to the window, and now she was gone. I dialed 911, and as soon as the operator answered, I then heard the front door glass break. I ran over, and I see this old woman reaching into the window trying to unlock it. The scariest part of all of this was that her arm was rubbing right against the broken glass, cutting her very deep, but she wasn't even reacting to it. She was giving me the thousand-yard stare while laughing and screaming. I'm literally crying at this point, and I had pointed the gun right at her. She sees the gun, and then just starts yelling.
Do it! I dare you!
And as much as I wanted to, I couldn't since I had no bullets. And then suddenly, I then see lights going down my street. The woman pulls her arm away and starts walking back slowly while still staring at me and laughing. I can then hear the cops yelling,
"Drop the knife, ma'am!"
The cops took my statement, and I later found out that she was actually a psych patient who had escaped the hospital, and that she even broke into a trailer nearby and stabbed a couple. The last I heard, they were okay, but why my house out of all the others? I had my door fixed and all the blood cleaned up. My parents later called me because they had heard that there was a break-in in the area. I had to tell them it was our house, but to not worry. To that crazy old who tried stabbing me, I hope you're getting the proper care and help that you need.